Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wortel, and we are now arriving at Parshas Ekev. That's right. It could mean heel, it could mean butt, it could mean a lot of different possible things. We're not going to be talking about that today, though, even though there's so much to talk about just on that. But before we begin, just once again, I want to sponsor our shiur in loving memory of Sarah Baal Pat Menachem Mendel. May her neshama have an aliyah. What we're going to talk about, there's a lot to talk about. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Eretz Yisrael. That's right. That's something that comes up. You know, we also say v'chalta v'savata v'rachta v'shem okecha. We mentioned benching, which mentions the land that we call land of Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. But we also refer to it as Eretz Zavat Chalav, the land of milk and honey. Now, more correctly, it's the land flowing with milk and honey, not the land of milk and honey. But the Torah refers to the land specifically as Zavat Chalav u'Dvash. Now, why specifically milk and honey? And we're just going to go through a few possible answers, but there's a lot more written on this. But, I mean, there's many other blessings that would seem more appropriate, right? Like the wine, you know, the beautiful grapes, you know, the oil from all the olive groves, the spices, I mean, beautiful flowers and colors. Why specifically milk and honey? Why did Hashem choose to highlight these specific items? Now, looking at the items in reverse order, we have Dvash, which is honey. Then we have Chalav, which is milk. Both are symbolic of fruitfulness. Dvash, as referred to here, is not beast honey, because I'll explain that's actually date honey, although they're both sweet, obviously. Now, the date is one of seven special species in Eretz Yisrael, and one of five fruits. It is the only one of these five, to be involved in one and only one specific mitzvah, namely the palm branches, the lulavim, on Sukkot, right? That's from a date palm. It's a fruit that's inherently sweet. It's one of the sweetest fruits there is, and the Torah wants to focus specifically upon the sweetness. It's also one of the richest foods, just in general, but with using that sensation that we have with our miraculous taste buds, that gives us a reminder to look at everything with a positive attitude, with a degree of sweetness. Now, there are those who teach that it may be referring to bees honey, and that has to do, I've heard a very interesting teaching, that has to do with contrasting the harshness of a bee's sting with the sweetness of honey and turning things around. That's a whole other drush. It's another way of interpreting it. We're going with the more common interpretation that it's referring to date honey. Okay. Now, on to milk, right? Chalav. Milk primarily comes from a cow. And Hebrew is a amazing, amazing language. It's divine and has so much infinite secrets, right? We say that the world is, Hashem built the world with the letters of the alphabet, right? And that more so what each letter represents, 22 fundamental principles or broad concepts among each letter. Now, I'm not going to get into the specific letters, but one of the key, what's called a biliteral root, is peresh, and that means fruitfulness. And we see this most extensively in two words. We see it in the word pre, which means fruit, or sometimes fruitful, and we have the word for cow, which is para, because it's literally a very fruitful animal. We get milk from it, and it's seemingly an endless supply of milk. It just keeps going, and then other ones, we can also slaughter them and have meat. We can get fat, for tallow, for candles and soap, whatever it might be, and they did back in the day. But ultimately, it's the milk, right? The milk is the main thing that we get from the cow, especially a female cow. Milk is symbolic of nourishment. We know that's how young are raised, whether it's a baby human or it's a baby cow. They get their initial nourishment only from milk. It's the first item that any being, any mammal tastes, certainly any human tastes. It's milk. That's the first thing that their tongue teaches, right? So we have the tongue touching sweetness for honey, and now it's touching a sense of nourishment and connection to the mother. It's the nourishment and the connection of a mother to her child, and the nourishment that Hashem's teaching us, the nourishment that we're going to receive from this land of Eretz Yisrael. Not specifically a plant that we're going to derive nourishment from, but specifically from the land and everything in it, including a living entity, which is the cow. Right? And again, there's so much to speak about this. But so right now there's two things that the Torah is teaching us. When one encounters something in life, one should approach it with sweetness. Don't come with a bitter attitude. Once you are open to an idea or thought and you're positively inclined, you can become attached and it has meaning to you. You, in a sense, then can derive, second step is derive nourishment from it. When you experience something positively, you connect with it, whether it's a person, an idea, a teaching, whatever it might be. And then it becomes part of you and you instill it in you, and you can then derive nourishment from it and use it to help build you up. It becomes part of you and who you want to be. And then it becomes reality. And then when it becomes a reality and you are exuding with that amazingness that's coming from whatever that is that you became attached to, hopefully a good thing, right? Positive thing. Then it flows from you, right? It's zavat, right? We said zavat chalav l'dvash, and we're doing it in reverse order. First, you have the sweetness, then you become the attachment, you recognize it, how it nourishes you and connects to you, and how you hopefully use it to connect to Hashem. And then it can exude from you, it can flow out from you. When something is important to you, you want to share it with others. Your ideas that are hopefully good and full of amazing blessing, and hopefully Torah and Hashem's lessons will flow forth to others, including kindness, of course. Now, the last letters of the phrase Zavat Chalav U'Dvash, in the reverse order, which we have now described, are actually Shin, Bet, and Tov. This spells Shabbat, or Shabbos. Shabbos is a time to slow down, to appreciate the sweetness of life specifically. You're busy with your work all day, you don't have time to exert. We delight in nice meats, sweet desserts, right? It's important to take time to appreciate the world that Hashem gave us. Look at the brachas that Hashem has given us and internalize these brachas. And then we can draw energy from it. We can draw nourishment from it and use Shabbos as a time of not just nourishment, but refreshment. And then we can use that to flow out into the coming week and into the world that we face every day. And we can use that positivity and that nourishment and the vivaciousness that we have, this life-giving force that we hopefully are connected to, that we can replenish on Shabbos. Right? It's not part of us, and we want to let it flow into other people. We want to let it flow into the coming week. We want to share our inspiration with other people. Now, the Baal Torah states that the term Zavat Chalav U'Dvash occurs in the Torah 16 times. Now, it's also no coincidence that the exact word Shabbos, not any other form of that word, but in those exact form of Shin, Bet, and Tav, just those three letters, in that exact form, no prefixes, no suffixes, appears exactly 16 times as well. We mentioned Yetziat Mitzrayim every Shabbos, and they are intricately twined, which is something I've spoken about before. But ultimately, the purpose of Yetziat Mitzrayim was to get the Torah and enter the land of Israel, right? To enter Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the primary place where blessing takes place, and Hashem gives blessing anywhere in the world, throughout the entire world. But there's something special about the blessing He gives in Eretz Yisrael, and sometimes what comes out of Eretz Yisrael can also be a blessing, whether it's the Torah, the produce, although make sure it's not Shemitah produce. Everything that's connected to Hashem is a blessing. Everything Hashem gives us is a blessing. But certainly those things are heightened even more so in Eretz Yisrael. You know, hopefully all of you have had a chance to, if you're not living there, have had a chance to at least visit there and experience some of the amazingness. And hopefully you have had a taste of sweetness, because there always are going to be, you can always find faults in things. You can always find a bitterness, and it's not perfect. Especially nowadays. I mean, it might be perfect and probably will be perfect when Mashiach comes. It almost definitely will be perfect when Mashiach comes. Whether it's something we would consider perfect now or not, whatever. For our purposes, it's perfect when Mashiach comes. But for now, it might not be perfect. But it still is a place of blessing. It still is a place of amazing sweetness. And it's a place where you can derive nourishment. And it's a lesson that anywhere in the world where you are, as long as you recognize that what you've gotten, what you've received is from Hashem, you can still have that element. But of course, it helps to tap into the idea of Shabbos, to tap into the idea of connecting with Hashem and appreciating the sweetness, the positive things that He's given you, and to let it flow out towards others, to internalize it and then exude, and that people can feel it, sometimes even without you saying anything. Sometimes in life we face difficult circumstances. Definitively, we face difficult circumstances. But sometimes things can be easy, right? I mean, not everything will be easy, but the Shabbos, in a certain sense, is easy. It comes every week. We don't have to, you know, say, oh, okay, I have to figure out what day it's going to be Shabbos. Shabbos comes on its own. The question is, how are we going to prepare for it? Some people put a ton of preparation into it. Some people do less. But ultimately, its goal is not to just be, okay, it's one day of the week. We do things differently. We can't do certain things. You know, we spend all day prepping for it, and then we're exhausted. We just sleep all day. It's meant as so much more than that. It's meant as a way to connect. And hopefully Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael is even more beautiful. But ultimately, Shabbos is a time to reflect about this idea of recognizing the sweetness of Hashem, the connections we can make and foster from it, and then bring that positivity out to other people. Shabbat Shalom.